listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at www.svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Do you know who you are? This gospel text is ultimately about Jesus being asked this question by the tempter. Do you know who you are? We have this opportunity, this first Sunday in Lent, to reflect on that question ourselves. Do you know who you are? And to hear anew God's claim on us in spite of the tempter's great power. Look, the devil said to Jesus, with your kind of power, you could turn all these stones into bread. I always think of this text when I drive out Interstate 8 and you see all those stones, and I understand that's what it looked like, that wilderness covered with stones. You could turn all these stones into bread. I'll tell you who you are, the devil says. You're hungry. And Jesus was hungry. Did you catch that he hadn't eaten for 40 days? Imagine that. 40 days when this happens. How we can do some pretty destructive things when we're hungry. In our family, we have a word for this state of being very hungry and doing some destructive things. We call it hangry, when you're hungry and angry together. And we've had instances, maybe some of you have experienced these with our kids. Michael will come up and say, "Daddy, I'm hangry right now." He's getting a little upset. Do you think Jesus was hangry after 40 days and 40 nights of being in the wilderness? He was fully human. That is what we confess in our creed. We confess he was fully divine, but also that he's fully human. When we are hungry, we are susceptible to forgetting who we are. Our immediate desires take over. We need food. We need protection. This economy in 2013 can be a sort of wilderness where we are hungry. Not only that, but our own personal strapped bank accounts can be a sort of barren land. And in this climate of horrific violence that makes us think twice, or perhaps even downright terrifies us even to send our children to school, it's like we're crawling through a desert, yearning for an oasis of safety. How we too can relate to starvation, not just nutritional security, food, but also financial security, national security, school security. How our starvations then can make us hangry. We were with Bishop Hansen yesterday. A good sized group of us from the church went up to Claremont Lutheran, where Mark Hansen, our presiding bishop, was speaking for 3 hours, and time just flew by with him. At least that was my experience. He does lots of interacting where he throws a question out and lets people talk among themselves. And one of the questions he threw out was, what's holding us captive? As we reflected on life together, life is church, and so we could turn and talk to each other. What's holding us captive, he said, and we said all sorts of things like fear, he said, and other answers as well came out. And then the bishop added another one, he popped into the mix. He said, I think rage is holding us captive. Our anger is holding us captive. How true that is. And in our rage and in our hunger, the tempter tries to disassemble our identity. Do you know who you are? The tempter says, here, take control. How about that? Turn these stones into bread. Make all the kingdoms of the world bow down to you. Force them to, in fact. Here are the angels, like a mighty army, to back you up with force and be at your beck and call. That's who you are, the tempter says to Christ. That's, by the way, what you deserve. You are the Christ, the Son of God. What strikes me about this story of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness is that the devil's voice never sounds all that bad. I mean, it's always subtle, isn't it, when we're tempted? You're not tempted by obviously wrong things. It's always the subtle things. I mean, what's so bad about turning stones into bread when you're hungry? Doesn't hurt anybody. What's so bad about overpadding my bank account and sheltering my children from the scary world? Hunger starts slowly and it grows. And when those fears start creeping in like hunger pains, the tempter moves in and questions our identity. Starts taking it apart ever so slowly. We don't even notice, giving us an answer to the question. Do you know who you are? Suggestive, always. How about this? The devil slyly says. You're entitled. You deserve all this. All this blessing. Unlike those other sinners and losers and murderers and slackers, Gentiles, unchosen ones, unblessed ones, you're not like them. You should get all that you have and more. The tempter slyly whispers to us, you deserve it. Look at all the good things you do. Go ahead, treat yourself to more. More money, more security, more food, more pleasure, more things. It doesn't hurt. Plus, you deserve it. Oh, we are in a wilderness too in these 40 days. And our identity is being rattled. Constantly, our identity is being rattled, and we are susceptible to others defining who we are. Because, frankly, saying, I'm a child of God, doesn't always seem so great compared to all the other descriptions. It's a lot more interesting to say I am a powerful CEO. I'm the starting pitcher. I am a mother. I am a pastor. I am an American. I am a hard worker who's made something of himself with his life. I am a club member. I am a subscriber. I am a friend of this person or that. I am so connected. I am a homeowner. I'm a world traveler. I'm a college graduate. A decorated general. I am a brother, a survivor, a church council chair. All of these titles that we can give to ourselves can drown out the most important one, the one that is most central to our identity. Long before our titles and resumes and descriptions of ourselves, some of them good and some of them not so good, God described us. God claimed us, sisters and brothers. God claimed us with a promise. You are my beloved child. And long after all the descriptions and accomplishments and titles fade, God's blessing and presence and still small voice will remain. You are my beloved child. Early last December, some of you know that I visited my grandfather for 3 days. He's slowly but peacefully dying in Colorado Springs. I had the opportunity actually to take a camera, interview him. Grandma had died a few years ago, and Grandpa's been so lonely and sad, but he still rests in that promise of God's enduring love and claim on his life. A pastor for over 60 years in the Lutheran Church. His largest congregation in Kansas City, thousands of people. His doctorate in ministry and preaching that he earned in Chicago under the great scholar and author Martin Marty. His beautiful and accomplished family that spread out across the country. 4 children, handfuls of grandchildren and great-grandchildren. His loving partner, my grandma. When I walked into that little assisted living apartment where he's now moved, none of those things were visible. None of those titles or diplomas or family members were there. Actually, I had to knock on the door for the first time I saw him. I had never been there before. This is a new facility. And I was like, computer rail. And I knocked on the door and there was no answer. So I thought, oh, he must be down in the dining room. So I went down to the dining room and tried to find him there. And people said they saw him earlier, but tried the room again. So I tried the room again. And no answer, so I just opened it and looked in. And there was Grandpa in the back bedroom taking a nap on the bed. Didn't hear me. And I hadn't seen Grandpa for a long time, and age had shrunk him. He was a tiny man. He is a tiny man. I couldn't believe how small he looked on that bed. My strong, funny, vivacious, hardworking Grandpa curled up like a child, shriveled by age and life and the recent stroke. I didn't wake him right away. I sat in that dark room and I watched him sleep for a few minutes before waking him up. I cried a little bit, both tears of sadness and also tears of joy. Because there on that bed, with all the descriptions gone, Francis Rush, child of God. Always was, and it always will be. And that is the truth for you too. Look at yourselves when you go home. Look at yourselves in the mirror alone tonight and say your name. Splash some water on your face. And remember that our identities cannot be shaken by the tempter. And all the great temptations of this wilderness world. For Christ has triumphed over the devil, over death itself. And therefore we are brought into this eternal relationship with God, where we are forever sealed and marked by the cross of Christ and gifted with the Holy Spirit. And we are named. We are given a title that will outlast any medal or diploma on the wall. Here at the beginning of this year's Lenten journey, do you know who you are? Today and forever, you are a child of God. Amen.
From all of us at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit www.elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.